Father, tonight we are just amazed, Lord, at your grace. Opening doors, Lord, that no man could shut, and shutting doors no man can open. Father, with the retreat coming up, Lord, with Ray coming to the church, God, with the street witnessing teams moving out, Father, with the Bible studies being shifted around, we pray, Lord, we would not lose focus. Father, we pray we would keep our focus on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, we pray that we could run with Jesus. We could follow his example even tonight. We could see, Lord, how he dealt with people, and Father, how he walked with you here on earth as a man. Lord, I pray that we'd follow in his footsteps like 1 Peter says. Lord, we just thank you for your grace, your mercy. Lord, I pray for revival in our hearts tonight. Lord, that we would just simply walk with you closer, Lord, every day. Lord, that we would love you more, that we would seek you, Father, and praise you. God, that we would see revival in our hearts that would spread worldwide, Father. Oh God, I pray we'd be a praying church, a church that would worship and praise your holy name. Father, I pray for this community right now that your Holy Spirit would move. And I pray, Father, for this people here right now in this room. I pray your Holy Spirit would just move. Holy Spirit, we pray right now that you would come and touch our hearts in an intimate way, Father. For those of us, Lord, that are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name that he would just have full control in our life. We pray for those that have not met, Lord, you, and do not walk intimately with you, Father. We pray that the Holy Spirit would so touch them in a sweet way tonight, Lord, that they would see the love of Jesus Christ and that they would turn from their sins and they wouldn't have to die in their sin and they would come, Father, to him. Lord Jesus, we're amazed in what you've said, Lord, in the text even before us tonight, and we pray you'd open it up. We recognize you're the teacher, you're the counselor, so counsel us, God. Father, I pray for every person in here that's got a question in their mind about a circumstance in their life, that you would answer it tonight through your word. Holy Spirit, I pray I'd be free, Lord, to hear from you, to walk with you, and to just speak your word. Lord, I pray I'd speak your very word and only what you would say tonight. Nothing of me like Jesus has done. Father, we thank you and praise you for the work of the Trinity in our lives. We just pray you'd open up our hearts now, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. It's good to see all you guys out. The Lord is so good. John chapter 8. We're in about verse 13, I believe. Verse 13. Moving right through John chapter 8. For those of you that's your first night here, we've been going through the Gospel of John, verse by verse, chapter upon chapter, line upon line, precept upon precept. We've covered it pretty in depth, kind of survey-ish, throughout the first 8 chapters. And I want to encourage you that are first tonight or that you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We have Bibles in the back. You can pick them up on your way out. They're free. They're green little Bibles. They're out there by the information table. I want to encourage you to pick one up and go read the Gospel of John and see what Jesus is all about. And I want to encourage you that are studiers of God's Word that have not sat down and read the Gospel of John from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through the end of the Gospel. In one sitting, just sitting down and just getting fed by the Lord, just reading through it and seeing the life and the personality of Jesus Christ, who is the very image of the very invisible God. And so I want to encourage you guys to do such a thing. And for a little context, Jesus Christ now is proclaimed that he's the Messiah, the one to come. Chapter 7, he stood up in the middle of the feast and said, I am the Messiah, pretty much. If you want to be saved, come to me. If anyone thirsts, he said, let him come to me and drink. And out of his most inner being will gush torrents of living water. And so after this, he went away to the Mount of Olives and he went for a time of prayer. Now, a tabernacle is going on, the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's a great feast in Jerusalem, and the population is swelled to almost 2 to 3 million people at this time, and it's normally about 250 to 300,000 people, because all the Jews from everywhere are commanded to come. All the male Jews are commanded to come to this feast. And so there's many people. Now we're coming to the close of it. The great day was the day previous to this, and Jesus is there in the temple at the court of the women, where the women were allowed to go, and he's there teaching, and they come and throw a woman caught in adultery right at his feet, caught in the very act. And we covered that. And he looked at the Pharisees and those that wanted to trap him and condemn him. And he told them what he thought, pretty much with a silent word by his Holy Spirit. And they were convicted and they left because he said, he who is without sin, why don't you throw the first stone if you want to stone this lady, if you want to kill her as you want me to do? And then when they were all gone, all those men that brought her in there. Now there's other people there, and he's going to continue to teach. And then when they were gone, he said, woman, Where are your accusers? She says, they're gone, Lord. There's no one left. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And we talked about it. And then he opens up. Now, he's interrupted right in the middle of his teaching. And then he opens up again with, I am the light of the world. If anyone would come and follow me, he shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In verse 12 here. And we talked about it last week in depth. That's all we got through last week is one little verse. And we usually don't do that. But it was so important to see the great I am statements of Jesus Christ. Previously, chapter 6, he says, I'm the bread of life. I am that I am. In the end of this chapter, chapter 8, we're going to see Jesus Christ. He claims that he is the great I am at least 4 times in this chapter. It's amazing, the claims of Jesus Christ and who he really is. So started picking up in verse 13. It says, then the Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I come from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from and where I am going. And so Jesus Christ at this point, the Pharisees are saying now, these that were listening and looking in and hearing all what he's saying, and he says, I am the light of the world. If anybody would come and follow after me, they will not walk in spiritual death any longer. They will not walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. They will have the spiritual revelation of God. They will be saved. I am the Messiah is what he's saying. I am the great light of the world. Now, these guys say, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. It can't be true. This witness that you're bearing, you're saying, I am. Where's your witnesses that you have? Where are the people here to tell us that you're truly this great I am? How do we know that you're really God and you are what you say? And Jesus says in verse 14, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. He says, I know where I'm from. You see, my witness is valid. It could be translated. There's witnesses in a courtroom, and the truth stands no matter what. It's the witness that witness is bringing forth, the testimony that they're declaring. Is it true? That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, my witness is valid. Of course it's true. He's God Almighty. There's no question it's true. They're saying, show us the validity of your witness here, of who you're claiming to be. He says, I know where I've come from, and I know where I'm going. See, he's claiming again, I'm eternal. I'm God Almighty. Jesus Christ had a vision when he was here on earth. He knew where he was going. He knew exactly where he was going as he became a man. Imagine it, you guys, truly. And like Easy was saying before, I'm sure you've heard this many times, about Jesus becoming a man. But we find in the gospel here that Jesus Christ is 100% man. 100, not 99. He is completely man like me and you are. He's complete flesh. He's limited to this body that we are in here. And he did that purposely, but he's completely God at the same time. We find that in Philippians chapter 2, for those of you that want to do further study on it. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through about 12 is a good section to look at that, how Jesus Christ emptied himself and became a man. Now, when he did this, though, he had a vision. He had a focus. He knew where he was going, and he knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to the cross. Now, imagine. It's hard for us, too. With our little weak minds, we can try, but we're not really going to be able to imagine good enough. But we'll try it anyways. Being there in eternity, in the glory of God, in the heavens of heavens, the angels are worshiping you. You're the Son of God. You're the second person of the triune God that we can't understand. There he is. And he says, I'm going to go to that miserable world, and I'm going for one purpose. To live as a man, to live a perfect life, to live sinless, to be an example for my brethren, and to go to the cross and pay the price for their sin, as they are right now in rebellion against me, as they will in fact crucify me. But I'm doing it for them. He got nothing out of it, but me and you. And I don't think that's much of a treasure, personally, but he does. You see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. His purpose was to save us, to change us, But another purpose that he had was to be an example to us why we're here on earth. For those of you tonight that are born again, you could say this with Jesus. I know where I'm from. I'm always a child of the devil. You couldn't say what Jesus is saying, but you could say the second part, I know where I'm going. Do you have a hope tonight of eternity, of the presence of God Almighty forever and ever? God is so big. God can never change. God is perfect, and He can't get any perfecter. He's perfect. He cannot change. You guys, God is beautiful. God is so big that my little mind cannot understand God. But as I enter into eternity, God is so radical, so big, so powerful, that He will never grow old to my heart. Imagine all through eternity. I mean, we think 80 years is a long time because we are here in this earthly realm and we get sick of things. We get a new car, we get sick of it in a few months. You know, we get new things, we get sick of them. It says it will never fade away in 1 Peter. You guys, through eternity, just think as far as you can go and just keep on going and going and going and going until you can think no longer of eternity, and Jesus Christ will reveal more glory and more glory and more grace and more love to me and you, and He will never grow old, ever, ever, ever. Throughout the ages to come, He's going to show us His exceeding riches to those who are in Christ, it says in Ephesians chapter 2. And so we have this hope. We are going there. You guys, you can't leave this Bible study tonight bummed out. You're going to heaven. I pray to God you would follow the example of Jesus Christ. And when people come down on you, and when people are saying, well, show us, prove that God is real, show me, and they've got all their questions for you, you can just say, I know where I'm going, in your heart. You guys, you have a hope of eternity. If you're in Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, and those of you here tonight that are in Christ know you are because you have an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ has shown me what intimacy means here with the Father in this text that we have and many others. What an example He is of perfect relationship with God the Father, as He's my elder brother, the Bible says. Verse 15 says, you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. That is according to the flesh, as we'll see. Jesus says, you Pharisees, you legalistic people, you're judging according to the flesh. In chapter 7, verse 24, it says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. In chapter 5, verse 30, it says, I can of myself, and Jesus again is speaking, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus Christ, the Bible says He did not come into the world to judge the world or to condemn the world or to bring condemnation upon the world, but He came to give us life and that life more abundantly. He came to set us free, as we're going to see. But in coming, He does judge, but not according to the flesh as me and you would. Oh, praise God, I'm not the judge. Praise God, on that day you enter into eternity, saved or non-saved, that day you stand before the throne of God on the day of judgment, praise God, I'm not the judge. Because I would judge according to appearance. You know, if you're like me, then I'll accept you into eternity to fellowship with me. If I was God. You know, if you do the things I like, if you dress the way I do, you see, that's how we really are if we would get honest with our hearts tonight. We judge according to, if you walk with God like I do, we judge. No matter what it is, you can run it across your brain and think about it a little bit. We all judge according to appearance. Jesus Christ does not judge according to the flesh, but He judges according to the heart. If you would be a person tonight that is really, really weak, weak in faith, just weak, struggling continually. If you have a true, honest heart that says, I will surrender to you, Lord Jesus, and we know that by a heart that says, not my will be done, but yours. An action that will follow that heart, not your great ability, but God's sovereign grace in your life as you're surrendering your will to Him, as He carries you through your trials and tribulations, that is who He is. So if you're a person tonight here that maybe doesn't have a great, strong spiritual walk, oh, you do desire one. And the Lord wants you to have one. And He's got strength for you today. He's got faith to put into your heart. But what He wants is your heart to be simply totally surrendered to Him. You see, that's what me and you need. He's not judging according to your flesh, your abilities, your efforts, what you're doing, your works. He's judging according to your heart's willingness to obey. Wasn't in Samuel, it says that God doesn't delight in sacrifices, but in obedience. Isn't that what He delights in? A heart that says, I'm willing to obey. Lord, I failed You 400 times, 10 million times in this very area. But Lord, today I'm willing to obey. Would You help me? A surrendered heart. You see, that's what Jesus is into. Oh, these Pharisees that He's talking to, they could care less about a surrendered heart. Their hearts were not surrendered. In fact, Jesus says they were children of their father, the devil, in this text. It's pretty heavy. Jesus could judge the heart. Now, Jesus Christ did not judge according to the flesh, but He judged with righteous judgment. Not judging to condemn, but judging to save. But if we would turn from Him, we would not receive Him. The Bible says this is the condemnation, that Jesus has come into the world and men love their dark deeds rather than the light, so they don't come into the light or come to Jesus Christ. This is the condemnation. They're already condemned. If you here tonight have not come into a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, that is the condemnation upon your life. And Jesus Christ says, you judge according to the flesh, I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true or valid, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Now Jesus Christ here is saying, hey, I'm not alone here. You guys want another witness? I got one for you. I'm not alone. He knew the presence of the Father. You guys, it speaks of such powerful intimacy. Do you know the Bible says, where could we go from His Spirit? Where could we go? He is everywhere. You cannot flee Him. He fills all and all. He's here tonight. He's in your bedroom tonight. Right now, God's Spirit is wherever we would go. It's over in the grocery store right now, convicting people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. God's Spirit is there with the believer as he's grocery shopping, and he can just speak to the Lord. The presence of the Father, because of what Jesus Christ has done. You see, there's no way at this point in history, before the cross of Jesus Christ, anybody could speak to the Father like this but Jesus. Because Jesus Christ was perfect. He was that perfect sacrifice that me and you are looking for. It's so important that we would walk with the Lord in such a powerful, intimate relationship, in such a awareness of His presence. And He says, hey, you Pharisees, you that judge according to the flesh, in your law, and notice He says, in your law, it says that the testimony of two men is valid. Well, I am one that bears witness of myself, and my Father, who has sent me, bears witness of me. Now, when did the Father bear witness of Jesus Christ? Well, there at the baptism with John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. The Father said, my beloved Son, I'm well pleased. I'm pleased. He's perfect. I'm pleased. He could not say that of me apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I mean, imagine you're sitting there. You're there with John the Baptist, the raging maniac preaching in the wilderness. And there comes this guy, and John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then you see John and Jesus talking a little and kind of maybe arguing a little. And Jesus is saying, no, no, John, to fulfill righteousness, you must baptize me. And John's going, no, I can't. I'm unworthy. I can't even unloose your sandal off of your feet. Oh, no. And then you see John baptize there Jesus. And then you hear a voice. The Holy Spirit ascends upon Jesus Christ in the form of a dove, the Bible says, and you'll hear a voice out of heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's a good testimony, I would have to say. That's valid for me. But that wasn't the only time. We find three times in the Gospels. At the Mount of Transfigurations, there in Matthew chapter 17, God does the same thing in front of a few of his disciples, not the whole world. Also, we're going to find here in John chapter 12, verse 28, we find that the Father is going to speak once more. And so we find three times. And I find it interesting that it's three times, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's just three times that the Father declares that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Oh, what a witness he has. What kind of witness do you have today that your faith is valid? People judge according to the flesh. People say, well, prove to me there's God. Show me God. I've never seen God. People say, how do you know the Bible's really real? How do you know? How do you know Jesus is real? Let me tell you how you know. He's revealed himself to you personally. I don't know about you, but I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ is real in my life. I've experienced him personally. And I don't walk by just that alone. I'm not going by an emotion. I have plenty of scientific evidence. And I have plenty of evidence that God is real. Why don't you look around you? As Ray Comfort would say, a building has a builder. This world has a builder, has a creator. Something is out there. And let me tell you, it's God Almighty, the Father of Jesus Christ, as his Spirit would enter into man's heart and cause him to be born again. We overcome the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Is your testimony valid today? Could you say, because the Father speaks to me and because the blood of Jesus Christ has converted my soul? I've been changed from within. I've entered into a personal relationship with the God of creation. You bet it's valid. And now let me not show you by tongue or by word, but by deed and truth. Let me show you Jesus Christ in me. Maybe we wouldn't say this to them, but we would just let him shine. Have you been converted? Has your soul been transformed? Have you met the personal God of creation? Oh, my friends, if you have, you might make some statements like Jesus Christ, and people might take you wrong, and they might not like you. But Jesus says, it's I and the Father. We're here. Now questions. Notice he's teaching and all these questions are coming up. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. You see, once again, Jesus comes back to it. They say, where's your Father? Show us your Father. Because you know, in this time, in Jewish time, at this time of Jesus' life, the Father was a perfect testimony of the Son. We'll find that in chapter 9 when the blind man needs to bring a testimony to say this man was blind from birth and they called his parents. Because the Father, and when the Father says, yes, that's true about my Son, no questions asked. Okay. And that's why Jesus uses this point. They say, where's your Father? And later on, they're going to say, you were born in fornication, as they get a little violent with Jesus Christ and try to rip him. But I notice that he says, you know neither my Father nor me. For if you would have known my Father, you would have known me. There's people today that say, oh, I believe in God. I believe in God of the Old Testament. In fact, when I was a brand new believer, there in the Bible study in the backyard, I could have been a month or two in the Lord. I knew nothing. I just knew that, man, hey, I got a testimony to share with you. I've met Jesus. And I couldn't show the guy this verse. He says, I believe in God, but I don't know much about this Jesus, and I don't want to believe in this Jesus, and I don't think you have to believe in God and be saved. Well, that's definitely wrong. You see, there's many cults today that say the same thing. They don't want to recognize Jesus Christ as equal with the Father. You see, if you know Jesus Christ, then you know the Father. Jesus says this exact same statement to Philip there in chapter 14, which we will get to before the night's over. Verse 20. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Now there he was in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and it was a place where they would bring their tithes and their money to the temple. There was a duty tax that they had to pay, and there were boxes there in the treasury, kind of like the boxes we have out back. They didn't look the same, obviously, but that's the way they did things. And there was 9 boxes that were a requirement to be paid, that every person that went through the temple had to pay these. It was just this law that they were under. Now there was 4 boxes, there was 13 in all, there was 4 boxes that were a free will offering, an offering from the heart. And see, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is calling me and you to give, is an offering from the heart. And this is one of the reasons we put boxes in the back and don't pass them around. Because we want you to be able to be free and to move out in the power of the Holy Spirit and to give as the Lord would lay on your heart. And as you would give your tithes and even above that, your offerings and your sacrifices of praise. This is a sweet smelling aroma and an acceptable sacrifice to God the Father in Philippians chapter 4. Paul says, I don't seek the gift, but the fruit that would abound to your account. God says, if you would tithe, if you would give me 10%, the first fruits, the first of all of your wages, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon you, and you aren't even going to be able to stop them. You're going to be saying, God, there's too many. I don't have enough barns to put them in, and you're going to just keep filtering them through the church of God. You see, we don't beg for money. We say if you are led by the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to give to the kingdom of God, not to this church, to the kingdom of God, to the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to see evangelism teams go out, to see many of tracts being passed out, to see the kingdom of God further, to see Bible studies opening, to see buildings being raised up that we can have Bible studies in, to see the things happen, to send missionaries out, and to send people out for the furtherance of the gospel, to put people on staff that they couldn't just sit around in their office all day, but to put them on staff so a guy called by the living God to be a pastor can be separated for the gospel of God, like Paul the Apostle said. To send out tapes throughout this world of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We aren't sitting there and saying, give money to the church that the pastor can hoard it up and go buy a big house, as some would. You guys, that's not what the purpose is. And if you're here tonight, if it's your first time, if money offends you, if people talking about money offends you, I pray to God that you would just let it pass. And if you're a Christian and it offends you, my question is why? Does it hit you where it hurts? Are you convicted? My question is, why? Praise the Lord. That's my life. I'm a living sacrifice. Let's just worship God in everything that we do. Be living sacrifices unto Him. And so Jesus, that's where He's teaching, this place in the temple. And it says they wanted to lay hands on Jesus Christ and seize Him and take Him captive and kill Him. But again, the sovereign hand of God was there. Nobody could touch Him. It wasn't His hour. And it says, then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So Jesus says to these Pharisees, again, He said this in chapter 7, I'm going away, you will seek me, and where I'm going, you cannot come. And you're going to die in your sin. And notice it's a singular, in your sin. That sin would be the rejection of the Son of God, as they will see in the end. And so He says, you're going to die in your sin. What does this mean? This means death. You're going to be separated from Almighty God for eternity. Does not mean you're going to die and never exist again and you're just gone and you're going to come back maybe on earth as a cow or something. It doesn't mean that at all. It means you're going to die and you're going to be in the second death, as the Bible says. Not really a death as we would think, but the spiritual death. It's a place of torment. It's a place that you'll never die, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus says, man, I'm going away and you guys are rejecting me continually. You're trying to murder me and kill me, and I'm going to leave you. And these guys were such Pharisees and they were so religious people. For us tonight that are religious people, they were thinking they're great people and they're going to heaven because they thought they were the only ones going to heaven. I mean, they lived strict to the law. Paul the Apostle was one of these. So the Jews said, will He kill Himself? Because He says, where I go, you cannot come. And He said to them, you are from beneath, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. So at this point, they say, what's he going to do? Kill himself? What's he going to do? Commit suicide? Because they believed at this time that suicide was the only sin that would, it was an unforgivable sin. It was, if you commit suicide, immediately you're going to hell. And they're saying, what's he going to do? Is he going to commit suicide and go to hell? Because we can't go where he is, and obviously we're going to heaven. And you notice that in the next statement he makes, he says, and he said to them again, you are from beneath. Oh no, no, my friends, you are from beneath and I am from above. Cool. Do you guys know that he didn't say you are from the earth, but he said you are from beneath? You are children of the devil. The Bible teaches that apart from Jesus Christ, because of our sin, we are children of the devil. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to be covering on Sunday mornings as we're going through the book of Ephesians. And we're going to learn how you're totally dead in sin. Do you know the people you're witnessing to are dead in sins? Meaning that they are totally spiritually dumb. The Holy Spirit now is here convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Of sin because we're sinners, of righteousness because Jesus Christ is gone and His Holy Spirit is left here to convict us of that righteousness that is in Jesus Christ, and of judgment because there's judgment to come. Do you guys know there's going to be a judgment day? Those of you here today, you don't understand that you think this Bible study is very boring. It's very weird. Why do all these people come into this building and study the Bible? And I tell you today, you're dead in your sins. You don't understand. And maybe you'll say, well, I'm going to read the Bible and I'm going to do this. And maybe you come to Bible studies and you just don't get this whole Christian thing. What, the seeking God thing. And I want to tell you that you're dead in your sins. And unless you surrender your heart to the Lord and let Him convert your heart completely, you will never be saved and you'll never understand these things. You guys, it's so important that we would understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. We would understand, man, that you are dead in your sins. That there's no way to get to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. You can work all your life. You're working as a dead man. God can't even recognize you until you enter into the blood of Jesus Christ. Until you confess that you're a sinner, you confess that you need Jesus, and you confess with your mouth that He is the Lord of my life, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead for the sanctification and justification and glorification of your soul, for the saving of your soul, for the converting of your soul. You must realize you need conversion. There must be change happening in my life. And if I'm a Christian today, if I've been made alive, and if I'm not dead in my sins, I'm telling you there's change in my life. Something has happened. Something different is going on. And every day my longing of my heart is to be more like the person of Jesus Christ, to be more intimate with my Father. And then you say, what is this seeking God thing? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's when my spirit has been awakened and made alive, and my heart is burning now for the living God, for that which I need, that which I want, and that which I must have. As the Bible says, my soul thirsts for the water, for the Word of God, and for Jesus Christ, and for His presence, like a deer would thirst for the rivers, for the water brook at the cool of the day, as the sun is going down, and they've waited all day, and their throat is dry. Like Jesus says, anyone who thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and out of his most inner being will gush torrents of living water. Have you been converted? My question is, has your soul been changed? Have your desires and life been changed? It's not that you can't do no more, it's I don't want to. Oh, I struggle, I'm tempted to go back, but man, my true heart says, God, that's sin. God, I want to please you. God, I want to do your will. Have you been converted, or do you today stand dead in your trespasses and sins? Have you been resurrected? Let me tell you, a dead man being resurrected, you find more life in him when he's resurrected than when he's dead. It's everybody goes, there! That guy was dead! We'll find it in chapter 11 with Lazarus. He was dead. He stinketh. He was made alive. He stinketh no longer. You guys, have you been made alive? Is Bible study fun for you? Is it a joy? Or is it just the thing you do? This Christianity, I'm praying and I'm asking, do you have a personal, intimate fellowship with the living God? Not because you're worthy, but because He is. And He's made you worthy by His blood. Oh, that the Lord would call us back to the feet of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ today.
is calling each one of us as deep calls on to deep. He's calling each one of us deeper and deeper with Him. Less of this world and more of Him. But you see, we were from beneath, but He is from above. The Bible says you must be born again, or born from above. Have you been converted? It's a deep question you must ask yourself seriously. Have you been converted? Have you been changed? Have you been born again? Hey, your grandma could be the best Christian in the world. Have you been born again? Have you entered into a personal, absolute relationship with the God of creation? I'm pressing the point because it's the most important point of the life that we live. Have you been born again? Have you been changed? Are you being changed today? Maybe you could say, yes, I have been born again, Trent, but I'm not being changed. I'm staying in apathy. I'm staying in carnality. My question to you today is, why? The Lord has so many blessings for you. So many riches. You see, we try to find riches in this world. We try to find pleasure in life. But the true life we're going to find is the light of the world. If we would follow Him, He would give us the light of life. You see, Jesus came to give you life. And that life more fulfilling and more abundantly, because He is life. He's the creation of life. He's the light that will bring you to the life. He's the life after life. He's the living God of creation. He can learn nothing. He can be taught nothing. He's not going to change. He's not going to move. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's never going to give up on you when you've given up on yourself. He's never going to give you over to the devil. He's got you in His hand if you're His child tonight. He's got you right there, and He's not letting go. He came as a man and died. What furthermore? He delivered His own Son for us. What further gift should He hold back from us now? Nothing. What could separate me from the love of Christ? Nothing. If He is for me, who can be against me? Do you understand what it means to be born again and be in the hand of the living God? He's the living God. What trial, what tribulation can mess you up? Of this earth, of this world, it's a joke. Put your eyes on the cross and put your eyes on the God behind the cross. Read your Bible to know the God that lives inside of the Bible and the very words that are spoken. Read your Bible to know the God that lives and dwells in your heart. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You guys, the problem is we've given in to sin too much. And the Bible says we reap what we sow. And we're corrupting our spiritual man. Ephesians chapter 3 teaches we have an inner man, a spiritual man that must grow and be strengthened and be nourished, as Jesus is going to go on to say. And this inner man must be fed the Word of God, must be fed in prayer and contemplation of the Scriptures, in quiet meditation. Do you guys know that you're from below or from above tonight? And if you are from above tonight, if you have been born again, don't you know that this world is coming against you? The busyness of this world is trying to pull you away from the presence and person of Christ. Don't you know that in these days they didn't have telephones and TVs and all this stuff to confuse you and to hold you back? Don't let it hold you back. You've got more power than the TV. Then the telephone, then the busyness of life. Do you have time for the presence of Jesus Christ in your life? Do you have time for His Word? Do you have time for prayer? Do you have time to go street witnessing or witnessing at work? No, I don't have time for that. I gotta go. I don't have time to tell people about life. I've gotta live in this carnal life and do my thing and make my money and then let it all burn and go and let all my friends go to hell. Do you have time? Our focus is so off. You guys, I pray that you would hear me prophetically tonight. I'm speaking to your heart. I'm saying Jesus Christ is speaking through me, calling you to His feet. He's saying, shh, shh, quiet. I love you. Let me tell you how much I love you. And man, when the Lord speaks in my ear, when I just quiet my soul, when I say, be still and know that He is God. And when He says, I love you, Trent, I say, oh God, you love me. And man, my life is being converted. I'm saying the flesh, it profits nothing. The words which you speak, Lord, they are spirit and life. Oh, Lord, they're life. Lord, I say at that point, where's the Bible? Can I read the Bible? Could I just seek my Father right now? My friends call me up. I gotta go. I got a date with Jesus. I don't have time tonight for that or this. I mean, I've got a focus in life. I've got a purpose in my heart. And my purpose is to walk with Jesus as He walked with the Father. My purpose in life is to take time and go pray. My purpose in life is to share what I've learned from the God of creation, because He's converting my soul every day. Because as I'm a doer of the Word, the Bible says our souls are being converted, changed into the image and person of the invisible God. Where have we gone? You see, it's the world. It's coming against you. Will we be Christians that just say we're Christians, and maybe we are truly, but we follow the methods of the world of how to seek our Father? We're caught up in it. We're in the rat race. I want to ask you, is Jesus really number one in your life? Number one. No condemnation here for those who are in Christ Jesus. No, the law of the Spirit of life will make you free as you walk in the Spirit. What I'm trying to say is get set free. Walk in the Spirit. Are you born from above? Or are you born from below? If tonight you aren't born again, you're really missing out. You must be born again to see or to enter the kingdom of heaven. The everlasting lake of fire, which was prepared for the devil and his demons, will await you on judgment day. Will you turn? Turn from your wicked ways, God cries. God isn't saying you're gonna burn. God's not laughing. God is weeping. God is saying, oh, Orange County, Orange County. How long I wanted to gather you to myself. As a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Like He says in Ezekiel, turn, turn from your wicked way. Why should you die in your sins, the children of God? Turn, turn. He's calling us to turn. Repentance means to turn directions, to change the way I live, not by my might nor by my power, but by His Spirit. To surrender and say, God, I want to turn. I yield my will to You. I yield my life to You. Will You take it now? And will You do what You want with me? Will we turn tonight? Christians, non-Christians, will we turn and just say, man, He loves me. I wait for nothing. I'm going to run the race to win. I ask you, in eternity, will you ever regret turning from sin? Will you ever regret giving up maybe a little TV or whatever it would be? Maybe some activity you do and it's not sin. But if you're neglecting to do what is good, the Bible says, him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. In eternity, will you ever regret sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, serving people, being a living sacrifice? Will you ever regret praying for those people, praying for Thursday night and the summer harvest and Sunday mornings and the street witness teams? Will you ever regret going to the prayer meeting in eternity? Well, that's all that matters, really, if we would get the focus right. Will you ever regret it? Will you ever regret opening up your house and bringing people in? Will you ever regret bringing a homeless man in for a few weeks, restoring him? Maybe he rips off your whole entire house. Will you regret it in eternity? You will say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the opportunity. And as you walk in the works prepared beforehand, as the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared them beforehand, and as you walk in them, and then you get there into eternity, and you see these treasures for the works that He prepared, that you walked in. Let me ask you, will you regret it? Oh no, you'll have a bigger gift to give back to your Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, revival will start, and only will start, when it starts in my heart and in your heart, each one of us, when we decide to say, I'm going to spend time with Jesus Christ, because He's living and He's God and He's real, and I'm going to walk like one that's from above. I'm going to set my things on the things above and not on the things of this earth, like Colossians chapter 3 says. I'm going to set my treasures in heaven and not on earth, because that's where my heart is. Because when you're with the Lord, your heart starts getting conformed into His image. I'm saying lose it all that you may find life. Give it away that you may keep it for eternity. Let it go. What would it be in your life today? Yeah, we need revival. We need it bad. And we'll never see it unless people see Jesus Christ in us. How will that happen? I'll live for Him. Not because I'm great. Not because I got strength. Because He's living. Because He's on the throne and He's in my heart and I'm surrendered to Him. And He is living through me. And people aren't seeing Trent. They're seeing the person of Jesus. That's when we're going to have revival. Why do you think the world doesn't want Jesus Christ? Well, look how the church represents Him. I wouldn't want Him either if I didn't know Him personally. They're dead. They're dead in sin. They don't see it. Don't get mad at people when they cuss you out. Pray for them. Did Jesus get mad at them when they cussed Him out on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did Stephen get mad at them when they were stoning him and throwing accusations against him? Forgive them. Receive my spirit. As he was focused on the Lord, he saw the Lord. What happens when people come against you for the gospel? A true heart that's being conformed into the image of Jesus says, oh God, please open their eyes. You're the only one that can do it. Oh God, you'll be a person that's laden in prayer, heavy burdened. Man, when you spend time with Jesus and you drive around the streets, you can't help but beg God to save them. You guys, I don't think it's so much what we say, but it's who we are. Jesus Christ said some great things, but it's not what He says that gets me. It's who He is. It's the action that He put by coming down and being a man and going to the cross. It's who He is what makes me on fire for Him. Just let this fire burn in your heart. Get out of His way and just let Him live. And I press this point because I ask you, are you hearing this and is it going in one ear and out the other? Are you saying, I know that? Are you saying, I'm convicted, but I'm not going to do anything about it? For those of you tonight, and I'm talking to you, that will say, yes, I'll do something about it because He did something for me and I'm able to do something about it. Just get with Him. He's so calling you in and loving you. He says, therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. You will die in your sins. For those of you tonight, notice it says, if you do not believe that I am, and the word He is in a italics, which means it's not in the original Greek. For those of you that do not believe that Jesus Christ is the great I am, I was, and is to come, the Almighty. For those of you that think He's the firstborn of God, for He's an emanation from God, for those of you that do not believe that He is the Son of God in full 100% deity, that He is the second person of the Trinity, you will die in your sins. And notice it's plural now, sins, because you rejected, which that sin that condemns you to hell, the Son of God, the blasphemer of the Holy Spirit. You've said no to Jesus Christ and His blood, and now all that remains is your sins, and you'll be condemned to hell. You can say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Him. Do you believe in Jesus enough to do what I've asked you to do tonight through the Word of God? To give Him your life? Not, I believe He's real. I believe Him enough to follow when people don't like it. I believe Him enough to walk in the light as the world is in darkness and they don't like it. I believe Him enough to stand up for righteousness' sake. I believe Him enough to, when I'm going through trials, I will turn to Him. I believe Jesus Christ. Do you truly believe in Jesus Christ tonight? And many of you do. Ask yourself. See, it doesn't matter what I think about you or what others think. What does the Lord think? Do you believe in Him? Is He in your heart? You will die in your sin. And that's just what the Bible says. Then they said to Him, Who are you? And Jesus said to them, Just what I have been saying from the beginning. Jesus says, Just what I've been saying. I've been telling you I'm the Messiah, the Son of God. Just what I've been telling you from the very beginning, that's who I am. Who is He? Who is He to you? Who's Jesus? Just what I've been trying to tell you from the beginning of the message. God Almighty that loves you. Who is He? He's my friend. He loves me. Who's Jesus? He's the one that died for me. He's the one that gave His life away for me. He's the one that paid the price at Calvary. He is my God and I am His servant. Who's Jesus to you? Who is He to you tonight? I ask you the question. I pray that you would not answer me, but answer God. And He goes on and He says, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but He who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard from Him. I really wish I could do this. Just speak what I hear from the Father. Nothing else. Do you know how many things that I regret saying? I don't think I regret not saying, holding back ever. How many times I wish I wouldn't have said that. There's some tapes I want to burn from my teachings. I wish I wouldn't have said that. You guys, let us be people of true wisdom. Being able to not to speak. And just to speak the heart of the Father. Oh, I wish I could say that, but I can't. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, I could just say, what I speak to you, I've heard from my Father. Oh, I've got many things to judge concerning these things, but my Father isn't judging them, therefore I'm not. He's got a heart that is totally surrendered to God. Do you have that kind of a heart tonight? Are you willing to have that kind of a heart? They did not understand that He spoke of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, and notice it's the Son of Man, it's his 100% man, and lifting up through the crucifixion, then you will know that I am, notice again, that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone. For I always do the things that please Him. Wow. That I always do the things that please Him. They did know He was the Son of God when He was crucified. They beat their breasts as the veil of the temple was ripped and they said, What have we done? He's the Son of God. They realized it at that point. Now you see, it wasn't too late for them at that point. Realizing that Jesus is who He's been saying He is all along. They could repent after the resurrection and be born again. And we're still in that dispensation today. You can repent and be born again. But there's going to come a day that every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that He is the Lord of all, that He is Jesus Christ. And I don't care if you believe Him or not, you're going to confess He really is. He really is God. He really is who He said He is. The gospel is really real. And at that point, if it's in eternity of a judgment of God, it's going to be too late. I pray to God that you realize who He really is. That He is the I Am. I am whatever you need for your life spiritually. That's who Jesus is for you and me. And it says that the Father never leaves me alone, for he sent me. For he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You guys, a really powerful point here is that the Father at one point had to leave Christ. He did leave him. My God, why have you forsaken me? As their souls were ripped in two. As the prophecies in Isaiah say, as their soul, his soul was poured out unto death. It said it pleased God because his blood was shed. And now God could look upon me and you and say to me and you, I will never leave you alone. I have not left you orphans. I'm coming again. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you're a child born from above, you're in the heavens tonight. You're one that is in love with Jesus Christ. You can't be separated. You can't be turned away. You are born again and you are set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. It's the most powerful thing in the world. Praise God that I'm in Christ. And he closes with this. Everything I do pleases my Father. Now, not one of us could say that. Oh, I wish I could say it in one day, at the end of the day. Oh, everything I did today pleased my Father. I can't. But you know what? Because of Jesus Christ pleasing the Father by his blood and by his perfect sinless life, you can say, in his presence, under the blood of Jesus, I please the Father, because the Son has pleased him. You guys, Jesus Christ is so real. He is so alive. And he has pleased the Father once for all. He's died. You can come boldly. You are free. And if this week you would continue to read on in John chapter 8, you're going to find out you are free. You are set free. Jesus Christ has freed you from all sin, from all iniquity. You are so free to love him and to please him with your life as a living sacrifice. For those of you here tonight that have never entered into a relationship with God, I have to tell you, you're crazy. If you would leave this place tonight, you will die in your sin if you do not believe that he is the great I am. You will die in your sin. You won't just go to hell and party. You'll go to hell where there's outer darkness. You won't have one friend. You think you're lonely now. That's nothing. You won't have one friend where there'll be torment day and night. That's what the Bible says. And if I wasn't speaking the truth, I must testify of what is true, as Jesus did. He said, you're from beneath. Man, that was a harsh statement. That was really harsh. Was Jesus being a jerk? No, Jesus Christ was speaking the truth in love. If I love you, I'll tell you the truth. Apart from Christ, that's where you're going to end up. You don't need to come to Christ that you can have a good life. You need to come to him, be saved from the flames of eternal hell. Come to him and be born again. He will indwell you. That what you're looking for right now in this world will only be satisfied in Jesus Christ. What you're looking for will never satisfy you. It will grow old. He will never fade away. He's the only one. Will you repent tonight of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ? For you Christians tonight, will we just say, man, Jesus loves me. And that's all that matters. I'm going to live for him. And yeah, he's worth spending time with. He came to the cross. I think I could crucify my flesh a little and get on my face. Yeah. Oh, because you'll only get in his presence, the Bible says, his fullness of joy, and his right hand are pleasures forevermore. You'll get so blessed. So blessed. You know, when I was a young Christian, they asked me, Trent, what do you do for fun? I would say this, fun? You want fun? Let me tell you about fun. Come with me in the presence of God. I'll show you fun. Now, I admit I was a little crazy, a little zealous. But that's good. We need to be a little zealous and crazy. Fun? You want fun? Worship Jesus Christ and let him touch your heart. Disneyland's a joke compared to that. It's a complete It's so unsatisfying after you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. After you've tasted of God, there's no turning back. My soul yearns and burns for fire each day because, not because I'm a great Christian, because I've tasted of God. He's so good. He's so real. Will you come to a God like that tonight? Christians, tonight, during communion, during the time of worship, will you taste of God? Will you just say, Jesus, you love me? You don't have to get on your face and rub your nose in the carpet. You can just say, Jesus, you love me, and receive His love and grace right there. You want to get on your face? Go for it. You want to rub your nose in the carpet? Go for it. But all I'm saying is, it's just let Him in, my friends. We will see revival. No question about it. We will see worldwide revival when we see revival in our own hearts. And it's simple, and it's basic, and it comes down to saying, I'm going to be intimate with Jesus. When you're intimate with Jesus, people know it. You don't have to tell them. They see Jesus. When you're intimate with Jesus, you're humbled, man. When you get in the face of God, I tell you, I get pretty humble. When you're intimate with Jesus, you see your wickedness. And when that other person is sinning against you, you see the need for mercy, for you've received mercy. Whatever it is, I could go on all night if we had the time about what would happen if you got in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need love? Talk to the one of love. You need grace? Receive His grace. You need mercy? Get touched by His mercy. It's grace in, grace out, mercy in, mercy out, love in, love out. You need the presence of Christ. It's basic, it's simple, don't ever leave it. You don't need theology. You need to meet Jesus Christ, and your theology will be made in your prayer closet. That's what you need. You need the presence, and I need it so deeply. Oh, my heart's yearning for it right now. So let's pray so we can worship God. Father, we just thank You so much for Your grace and mercy. We ask, Lord, that You would speak so powerfully, Lord, to our hearts personally. God, we don't want emotions, but we do want to experience You. Lord, and we know there's emotions, Father, and we're all for those. But God, we want faith that's solid and movable, Lord, always abounding in Your love and work. Lord, we want faith that goes so deep, not in us or our abilities, but in who You are. We want faith, Christ. We want to know You. We want to love You and serve You. As we take communion tonight, Lord, we want to worship You from our hearts. We want to praise You. God, we want to say, Jesus, You died for us, and it stops there because You resurrected again on the third day. And I don't need to go any farther. I'll go so deep in the blood of Jesus Christ and His unsearchable grace and the riches that are unsearchable and cannot be exhausted. And it's just simply saying, I want to be intimate with the Lord. That's our heart, God. Let us never leave it. Let us follow the example of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray You'd save those that are dead in sins, and You'd bring them to the personal relationship of Christ. In Jesus' precious name, amen.